Many historians provide ample evidence that America was founded on principles from the Bible. In fact, as the Supreme Court itself in 1892, after examining the key colonial charters and founding documents, declared, quote, end quote, "This is a Christian nation." Well, fast forward to today, and we see a great need for revival of Christianity in the nation. Recently, there's been a wonderful series of films and television programs called The Chosen. It has a fresh approach to the life of Jesus Christ. And this positive message is being used to reach people not only in America, but all around the world. Stan Jantz is the CEO of the Come and See Foundation, which is at work to make the message of The Chosen available to about 95% of the world's population. They plan to do this work, quote unquote, to the ends of the earth. Pinkston Communications writes, you can see a preview of their incredible translation work here. And, of course, we have an active link to that. We'll post that on this site. Stan Jantz now joins us to discuss this great work. Again, he is the CEO of the Come and See Foundation. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Stan Jantz, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Sure. And just so people may remember you from a series of books before we get into The Chosen and so forth, there was a series of books you did with a co-author named Bruce, and it was Bruce and Stan Do This and Bruce and Stan Look at That and so forth.
Yep.
How many books were there like that?
You know, we did about 25 in that series, and eventually it became Christianity 101. And so we did kind of taking the basics of theology and making them accessible, and we did a bunch of different topics, and so it was, yeah, it was fun. And we just came out with a new book that's out from Harvest House, little plug here, called 10 Essentials for New Christians, and that's from my pen and Bruce Bickle, and it's from Harvest House. So it's brand new, and it's really around discipleship, which is one of my passions,
and that is to
help people not just be fans of Jesus but followers.
Okay, very good. And before we plow into the subject of the Chosen and this Come and See movement that's sort of being built around the movie and TV series and so forth, I'm just curious about those Bruce and Stan books. What was your most popular of all those, far and away?
It was Knowing the Bible 101.
Oh.
That one probably was the most popular. People, you know, I think have a great interest in the Bible. And quite interestingly, Jerry, what I'm finding much fulfillment in working with this foundation, leading this foundation that is supporting The Chosen, how people are being drawn to Scripture when they see the images and, like you say, the TV show, and now it's in theatrical release. It really wants them to go read the Scriptures. And that is a fantastic outcome, because that's where the inspired Word of God lives. And we're thrilled for that, and we're seeing that not just in the U.S., but all around the world, and in those languages you talked about.
Okay, so let's go ahead and have you wax eloquent for those not familiar with The Chosen. The Chosen, by the way, is Jesus Christ. It could just as well have been called The Anointed One or something like that, but just tell us about the whole series, and then we'll get into the whole Come and See campaign built around the series.
Sure. The Chosen is a TV series, multi-season. Season 4 has just released, and it's about Jesus and his followers, and you could say they're also chosen. We are called a chosen and a royal priesthood. Jesus has given us that mandate, but it goes episode by episode through the life of Jesus. And Season 3, which concluded last year, focused on the last episode, was Jesus coming, walking on the water to the disciples in the boat during a storm, and Peter gets out, and down he goes, and Jesus pulls him up, and it just set the scene for what's happening in Season 4, which is a lot of drama. And I don't want to do any spoilers, but John the Baptist is in this one, and his what happened to him after Salome dance. We also have the raising of Lazarus, and so it's a very intense season that is now out in theaters. Will be available on the Chosen app, which can be downloaded for free very simply. So, but it's really changing, I think, the way a lot of people view Jesus. And we're finding this around the world. We've had a kind of a filter in some cases about how we view Jesus. And we perhaps have not overlooked, but have not really thought about that Jesus was a human walking the earth, that he could identify with everything we've been through except without sin. And so we see this beautiful portrayal. It's produced, directed by Dallas Jenkins. And they said it's been out. The fourth season is now being released, and there are going to be 7 seasons altogether. We're going to follow Jesus all the way up to the resurrection. And so it is really being embraced both by groups that are showing it, as well as people who have never really thought about Jesus. And we're seeing a great response internationally. Brazil, for example, there are more viewers of The Chosen in Brazil than in the U.S. They have embraced it completely and really love it. I think, again, it gives us this authentic biblical portrayal of Jesus that's visual and that we can experience and see. And it makes the Bible story, maybe perhaps more real, but without detracting in any way from the divinity of Jesus and why he came. And as we see the seasons develop, I think we're going to see that purpose grow even stronger. And we're going to see that, of course, in season 4, it starts going toward Jerusalem and toward the triumphal entry, which will be the conclusion of season 4. And then season 5, which will go into production here in just another couple of months, will focus on Holy Week from the triumphal entry to the kiss that betrayed Jesus. And season 6 will be about the crucifixion, the trials that took place around that, the upper room and all of that, just extraordinary events. And then season 7 will focus on the resurrection. So we all know how the story goes, but to really see it portrayed so beautifully and with such quality is really capturing people. And as I said, one of the great outcomes we're seeing is that people are being motivated to read the scriptures.
Well, one of the things, I mean, obviously, this is not the first movie that's been made about the life of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, though, the filmmakers choose to, you know, take artistic license. I remember one that really troubled me, and I remember overhearing a lady in the theater, you know, a fellow, just a moviegoer. I don't even want to name the movie, but it was a movie about Jesus, and they were overall, you know, positive toward him overall. But they had, you know, a scene where they showed the disciples and they were camping out or whatever. And Mary Magdalene was among them camping out. And I was like, what? Or Mary Magdalene was there on the ship, you know, when they were experiencing the storm and so forth. And I was like, no, that isn't in the Bible. So are these things in the Bible? Or if there's anything that's not in the Bible, at least it fits the tenor of the Bible.
You're right, Jerry, and there are things, and what's not in the Bible would be character development. So the writers of the show, and Dallas Jenkins is one of the writers, along with 2 others, they are very faithful to Scripture. And in fact, they have a review board that The Chosen uses, and you can see them actually on the app. They call it the Theological Roundtable. And there is a Messianic rabbi, Rabbi Sobel, who is actually has a show on TBN, where he talks about, you know, applications that we can see today in terms of Jewish history and culture. And there's a evangelical scholar, Doug Huffman, who actually teaches at Talbot School of Theology, where I serve on the board of Bayou University, and Talbot is our seminary. And then come and see the foundation that's been kind of raised up to preserve the theological integrity as well as the economic sustainability. We have a team of 4 scholars, evangelical scholars, and these are global scholars that are looking at the scripts before they go into production to make sure that there's theological accuracy with Orthodox theology, and then also cultural application. So, you know, when you translate, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but when you translate to other languages, there's a lot of consideration as far as what does that idiom or what does that word mean in those languages. So the structure of the show is completely sound theologically. But where they kind of go into what's not in the Bible would be a character developed. For example, Matthew, the character that plays Matthew, and this is something that is deliberate, but Matthew is on the spectrum. And he's got these little quirks, and you think, well, wait a minute, where in the Bible does it say? Well, it doesn't. But the writers made the decision to create this character based on facts. So Matthew was a tax collector, and he becomes a follower of Jesus. He records the Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew is very thorough. And they figure, well, the fact that Matthew was so detailed, and he was a tax collector, and he was kind of shunned by probably the Jewish culture at that time because of what he was doing. He was, siding with Rome, at least until his calling to follow Jesus. And so they kind of take a little bit of creative imagination to create this character, but it never strays outside of the scriptural story and the biblical account. So that's really where, Jerry, it gets into that. Probably you'd say, well, gosh, would that really have happened? Well, what the writers follow is it plausible? It may not be in scripture, but it's plausible that this is what happened. Another quick example would be the woman bleeding for 12 years. This is in season 3, where she approaches Jesus as he's on his way to heal the daughter of Jairus. And the woman touches his hem of his garment. We know that whole scene, what happens in scripture, who touched me? And where they said, well, there's a crowd all over. They've both been touching you. And then she comes forward and he declares, daughter, your faith has healed you. So what's interesting, the backstory of her, of this particular character, and we don't know her name, she's not named in scripture, is that she was shunned, not just by society, but by her family because of this issue of blood that she had. And you have this opportunity to kind of see this character and you feel for her so that when Jesus calls her daughter, that is so significant because she was nobody's daughter. But there again, the writers build this backstory of her culturally correct and in keeping with the story itself. And of course, Jesus goes on to the house of Jairus. We know in scripture, they say, well, don't bother. She's died. And then he says, no, she's just sleeping. And they all laugh, right? So it continues with that and shows that scene of her going to the place of where this woman, this girl, has been has died, and that he raises her back. So that's just a couple of quick examples of how that backstory can really help us understand what the Bible is saying in these stories that are true and timeless, but then making them so relevant to where we are today.
Okay, Stan, we only have a couple minutes left, and I want to make sure we get in the translation point. But just real fast, how long is each of these seasons? You say they've already produced, four seasons out of the seven? How long is the total?
There's 8 episodes per season. Each season varies between 45 and maybe 55 minutes each. I'm going hours, so they're lengthy. And the difference between other Jesus shows, as you've said, Jerry, is that how many they're doing. There will be 56 episodes, so almost like say 50 hours of content.
Oh wow! Okay, all right.
From the life of Jesus. So that's what kind of sets it apart. And then translating those.
Yes, tell us about the translation.
Well, we really believe that this is the key to this because we want the world to understand and see the story. And you mentioned 95%. When we finish this, and it's going to take years past the last season, when we finish this task of 100 of the languages being dubbed, all 600 being subtitled, when that's done, 95% of the world will be able to understand one of those languages. There are more than 600 languages, obviously, but if you do that many, and it's never been done for a show like this, ever. The Jesus film, of course, went over 1,000 languages, but that's a 2-hour movie. We're talking 56 episodes with multiple characters in each episode. So it's a daunting task, but we have a wonderful team in place. We're using, and this is what's great, is that as the translations are done, before it gets dubbed, we work with what are called subject matter experts in each of these language cultures. Again, to make sure that it's accurate and that the idioms that are used can mean the same thing. So there's nothing that's going to throw off people when they see it and hear it in their own language. And I recently experienced this in Poland, Jerry. We did a premiere in Warsaw. And so my wife and I and our team were sitting there watching it in Polish. And in Poland, they do voiceover. It's a little different than other countries. But I'd already seen the 3 episodes that they were watching at the premiere.
And we have about 20 seconds left. Go ahead.
They cried at the right points and laughed at the same points. In fact, they're getting it, and they loved it. So I was really pleased to see that.
That is so neat. ComeAndSeeFoundation.org. So when your task is done, Lord willing, about 600 languages, the major ones, are all around the world, will have access to this series of films. Thank you, Stan. All the best. Stan Jantz. That's
thanks.
J-A-N-T-Z. Yes, thank you now.
Thanks, Jerry.